Have your thighs ever chafed? Chafe is no joke, but thanks to Mega Babe, it's also no problem. Mega Babe's Thigh Rescue glides onto skin so that chafe is a thing of the past. Experience what 10,000 five-star reviewers rave about at megababebeauty.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Here's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Mental health facilities in Ireland are struggling to meet minimum standards. That's according to the latest Mental Health Commission report. Currently, the government is spending 6% of the total health budget on mental health, which the Inspector of Mental Health Services says needs to be doubled. And the Inspector of Mental Health Services is with us in studio this morning, Professor Jim Lucy. Good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
Jim, looking at the report, you have two issues, both of them significantly problematic. The first is that the compliance rate, when you trend it over 3 years, is going in the diametrically opposite direction of where you would want to go. It is disimproving rather than improving. And the failures in compliance are in significant areas with direct impact on patient results and patient care.
Correct. I think the report comes in two parts. There are good things here, and it's important to emphasise these good things in an area where hope is so important. We're admitting fewer children to adult acute units. We've got 100% compliance in areas that are using very serious treatments like ECT. And we have a very important and substantial reduction in non-therapeutic interventions such as seclusion and restraint. And they indicate a cultural shift towards a human rights practice, which I think is being led by groups like the Mental Health Commission. On the other hand, the wider picture is very worrying. It's a concern for everyone. And it is, just as you've described, a trend towards a deterioration in our services. And specifically, if you just go to the numbers, and I don't want to burden people with too many numbers, but of the 66 centres, 22 are below 80%. Compliance. That's the highest level of non-compliance ever. 14 of those are in the HSE, in the balance, and the independent.
So that's a third of the centres that we have in the country.
One third. Now,
can I just highlight the trend? Because you, in your report, you highlight the 22, and then you say, if you compare that with last year, or rather the year before this report, the number was 7. Mm-hmm. If you go back the year before that, the number was 9, then the year before that was 7. And you say these low rates are linked to a history of poor governance, inadequate investment levels, and outdated regulatory framework long overdue for revision.
Exactly. So this isn't a sporadic or an isolated finding. This is a robust finding based on the inspection of 66 centres across 26 counties, looking at 2,600 beds and interviewing service users and service providers. It's a really substantial report, and it really is the baseline data. But it's not isolated. My predecessors are calling this out. What's dramatic here is the leap, as we said, from 7 and 9 now to 22.
Which is particularly significant, given that your predecessors were calling it out. Because if anything, you would have thought plateau or maybe mild improvement. To see it going the other direction means your predecessors are being ignored.
It means that the job of the inspector is to find and call out. That's the legislative role. And let's be quite clear. Everybody in the country knows that this is the most important unmet health need in our country. Mental health is the most important unmet health need. Every family in the land has a mental health issue. This is the commonest cause of death of men under 50. Those with enduring mental health difficulty have their lives shortened by 20 years because of mental health difficulty. And without addressing the acute mental health need, we can't talk meaningfully about a community health response, about an ability to have a provision in the state sector or the independent sector, which provides people with the opportunity to return from an episode of mental distress to those where they live, work and love. So it's important that we actually call it out.
There is a tendency when we talk about lack of compliance with regulation to assume that it must be minor and bureaucratic, that a sign is not in the right place, that there aren't enough bathrooms, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. The reality is that what you have found is that the top 10 most frequently breached regulations are some of the most significant, that therapeutic services are not of the quality that they should be, that records are not of the quality they should be, that medication and the provision of, in some instances, significant and impactful medication is not being tracked the way that it should be. Can you give us a sense of what that means in real terms? What are the kind of things that you see?
Well, what that means is that you've got an impactful deterioration in compliance with regulation. These are not peripheral minor issues. They're not legalistic or trivial matters. They're not, they can't be dismissed. The service user experience, which of these 66 inspections, I've personally visited 40 of these centres already in my first year here. And with the team, we've talked to people. The service user experience validates our finding. People are finding it difficult to engage with a service which is so underinvested itself. And so recovery becomes difficult. After all, what you need here is the modern vehicle of healthcare, which is the team.
But hang on, Jim, let me ask for a specific within that. One of the regulations, ordering, prescribing, storing and administration of medicines. Mm. You have found that in that category, it is breached in the most, it is one of the top 10 most breached. 73% yes. is where it rates in your categorization. Does that mean that service users are either not getting the medication that they require, not being administered the way that it should be, or not having records of the fact that they've received it? Is that
well, it? Well, it means, it absolutely means that. And in specific instances, which we call out, we look at the prescription sheets, we talk to the people who are being prescribed the medication, we talk to the administrator of the medication. And so we call out specific errors in it. But let me just elaborate so that your listeners understand, and I think they will recognise this. What we have is a service in which the premises, only 27% of those are meeting minimum standards. So you've got a dilapidated, deteriorating physical fabric of service. Now, it's very hard to deliver a therapeutic service in a milieu that is so deteriorated and dilapidated. On top of that, you then have a range of necessary services, pharmacy, occupational therapy, psychological inputs, counselling. No one would imagine now in the 21st century that these things would be in short supply in our acute mental health services, but they are. And as a result, one of the consequences, it's a dreadful consequence, is an over-reliance on a medical model, which tends to be about medicine and nursing. Now, in those circumstances, at very least, you want to get that medical model right. But where you have those instances where you have a binary delivery of service without support, say, a pharmacy, you get an increase in error. So there's a trend going here.
You also have, you say that in only 56%, so roughly half of the acute services that you visited had sufficient, or sorry, were in breach of risk in terms of their capacity to manage it and to adjust. What does that mean?
Well, it means that a place of mental health distress, such as an acute unit, should be a safe place where a therapeutic regeneration, a recovery can occur. If in itself its fabric is not safe, if it's ligature bound, if it's unmonitored because of insufficient staffing, or if it's culturally deteriorated because of a dilapidation in its physical fabric, how can it be safe? And safety becomes itemised in our inspection. We can look at measures of safety. But let me put it in more broad terms, and I think it's more clear. What are we really saying here? What I'm saying in my first report here is that mental health services, acute mental health services today in Ireland are where cancer services were 20 years ago. That's where we are. But we turned that around in cancer services by an initiative which was transformative as a result of investment that was meaningful.
But how is that the case, Jim, given that what we have heard in the national discourse for at least the last decade is that mental health is one of the prime issues with which we need to deal? It is discussed all of the time. We see documentaries about it. We see people talking about the need to share and be mindful and all of the rest of it. But where the rubber meets the road is the service provided at acute level. And we are still grossly substandard.
Well, I've been part of that movement to have a greater emancipation of the conversation about mental health. The dialogue in Ireland has changed. It's 20 years since I was first on this kind of programme. And many, many people have contributed to that. We have a very compassionate people. We have a people that wants to be freed from the stigma of mental health disorder and discuss it openly, that wakes up early in the morning and walks into the light, that wears the ribbons. But we can't, as people, invest in mental health services unless the checks are written. Now, let's be quite clear. Between 5 and 6% of our health spend is spent on mental health. It's one of the lowest in Western Europe. That's €1 in every 20, or 1.3 billion.
But that's
it
where
needs to be doubled, Anton. I mean, when you're saying we talk about it, Talk is cheap, Anton. We need to invest in these services.
That's where your report is so stark, because you've obviously looked at all of the breach recommendations, but you have drawn them together into, as I said earlier, your top 10. Just so that I have this right, what you are saying is that if I present to an acute mental health facility, which means I am in extreme need of support and care, 3/4 of them will be buildings that are not up to scratch. 2/3 of them won't have enough staff or won't have the right staff. And about 1/2 of them will not be able to guarantee properly that I am not at an increased risk above what I should be.
They're the figures. That's the finding. We can't resile from the finding. It's a wonderful legislative mandate. It's independent. It's there because of our dark history of the asylums. It's written into the legislation. The inspector must inspect and must find without fear or favour. I'm independent of any kind of agenda. But I must find the truth. However, I want to say this. All mental health care needs to be seen as the most helpful and hopeful intervention in healthcare as a whole. And I've had a lifetime experience of seeing people recover. It's out of a passion for realising that hope and connectedness, that investment and integrity, a meaningful, empowered health service works, that I'm wishing others to hear what we're saying. If we had that investment, if we, as I say, doubled, for every euro we're spending in mental health, we need to spend 2. If we don't do that, this deterioration will continue. I believe the people understand the importance of mental health, and they understand the importance of the deteriorations that happen, and they know that that investment will work. It worked in cancer, it can work in mental
health. Let me just clarify on that, because one of the things when we talk about the general health system, and particularly I've spoken to Stephen Donnelly about this, when you ask him about it, often what he will say is, and what previous ministers will say, is that it isn't of necessity a funding issue, it is to do with the system's capacity to deliver on that funding, and they will quote record-breaking amounts of money going into the HSE. You're saying that in the instance of mental health, and particularly acute mental health, it is simply a funding question, more money.
The figures bear what I'm saying absolutely out. There's no question about the volume of health spend. It's huge. But the proportion that goes into mental health is small. And the necessity is very great. And yet the proportion has stayed low throughout my clinical years. I'm 40 years in this business. So we have made a low priority of acute mental health care. And so our services are in very great difficulty. By the way, I've worked in 5 universities in Ireland and the UK. I've trained psychiatrists and psychologists, nurses. I know the people who work in these services are good people. They want to deliver good service. That's how they're in fact introducing these benefits around human rights. But they can't do it in services that are dilapidated, in fabrics that are actually declining.
Let me ask you a final personal question on that. As a clinician and as an academic in the area for a long time, you will have had obviously a sense and anecdotal experience of the broad service. You've now had the opportunity to, as you say, see physically 40 of the 60 and inspect documentation in respect of the other 20. Were you surprised by how bad it was?
I was disappointed, certainly, but I'm not surprised. I've known this I've been in the care phase for that time. This is the truth. This is the reality. But I was surprised and uplifted by the ways in which so many people, families, and the service users themselves, the patients and the providers of care, the nurses and the therapists, do so much with so little. But we can't go on to asking them to manage to do more with less. What we need to do is help them to lead better futures, to actually recover people. And we can't do that without meaningful investment.
Jim, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Professor Jim Lucy, Inspector of Mental Health Services. Coming up later on News Talk, following recent attacks on public transport, we ask, is Dublin safe? But next,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.